The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Plays it into Trey. 2 seconds wide. Trey Slaughter.
Hello and welcome back to Hoopball Hawks, the show here on the Hoopball Network that is taking flight. We cover everything regarding the Atlanta Hawks. I'm your host, Brad Harden, recording live from sunny Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm recording this on Sunday, October 17th. Preseason has ended as the Hawks got a dub over the Miami Heat. Many players found their groove, like Stella on Thursday night, which was a welcome sight for Hawks fans and myself, obviously, with the season opener just several days away versus Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, and the Dallas Mavericks, led by, obviously, Jason Kidd with the big collars and the bowling-style shirt, looking like a barber, looking for some help because he needs a check. Those pictures look bad on the internet. But that's neither here nor there. I have a special guest, my friend. It's here to break down preseason from his vantage point and talk about, obviously, things heading into the regular season. We're going to cover all of this after this plug for my bookie. All right, and we are back. I am jacked up on this Sunday. And my friend is, too. We've had a great conversation before we jumped on. You already know who it is. Alan is back. The Mr. Hoopball, in my opinion. He has been all over the network, on YouTube, killing it. Y'all need to check him out. We are going to plug that early and often on this show. But first and foremost, outside of the work, Alan, how are you doing on this Sunday?
I appreciate the very kind words, as always. My friend, Brad Harden, thank you for having me back on, man. I'm having a great day. I'm just excited to be back on the show, man. Like, the last time you and I talked on Hoopball Hawks, it was during... It was, I think, like the Eastern Conference Finals preview show, probably the most excited I've ever been as a Hawks fan. And what's even better is that now that we're preseason pulling up here to the start of the 2021-2022 regular season, I'm the most excited I've ever been as a Hawks fan again. I'm still excited. Like, there's so much to talk about, so much to just be in awe of, just, you know, in advance. This is just going to be such a fun year, and I can't wait to see how this season goes. And, bro, you're going to have one hell of a podcast.
Yeah, because I'm going to continue to try to get some guests, including yourself, here on the show. It's an exciting time to be a Hawks fan, and I know it seemed gloom with the injury report going into training camp and some of the lineups or the lack thereof as far as star power and faces that we want to see on the court throughout the preseason. But we got a taste of almost everybody outside of Okongwu back on Thursday night. Obviously, before I get into the Hawks, you know, shout out to the Braves winning game one. I'm a Cardinals fan. But, you know, I was happy to see the Braves beat the Dodgers in game one. I like teams that are built, not bought. We did talk about that on the episode. And mm-hmm. I know Alan celebrated accordingly yesterday, as you should, as a Braves supporter.
Mm-hmm. Big Boss Riley, you know.
Big just Boss Riley.
Yeah, a no doubter into left field. Great way to end the night. You know, that was the game that they definitely needed to win. You know, this is a revenge series, losing in the NLCS last year to the Dodgers. You know, yeah, you got home field advantage. You're supposed to win game one, but this is the best team in baseball, debatably, on the other side of the mound there. So, yeah, you got to be happy about that. Braves paving for what we want for our young Hawks this season. You know, this is a It's exciting times in Atlanta sports if you don't care about football.
It is, if you don't care about football. It is extremely exciting times right now here in Atlanta. And just to flex some of my baseball knowledge for anybody out there who just wants to hear it, I did talk with a friend going into game one yesterday. Obviously, like I said, I'm not a Braves fan. I'm a Cardinals fan. But I said, with free pitching, and I know that the, you know, Dodgers started a reliever as their game one starter. I said that if he could go 6.5 innings, it bodes Atlanta's chance of winning, because I was like, you know what? He goes 6.5 innings. That's less people they use in the bullpen that they can save for game two. Game one is obviously going to be very, very emotional because of, you know, the Dodgers bouncing him out last year and the comeback that, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about in Atlanta. But going 6.5 innings, you use less people in your bullpen as far as relievers. And then they came through in the ninth. So I'm glad I was right in baseball. You know, y'all can test my baseball knowledge on Twitter. Y'all know what hit me up. And before I get into the Hawks again, I got to do this. It's been a hard, hard year for LSU football, but I am so happy. Jason Walker, I love you, man. If you're hearing this, you know, we had to beat the Gators down in Death Valley yesterday on a 11 a.m. kickoff time. 49-42, what a game. That's the first time in they show some heart all year. So, you know, we both celebrated accordingly, me and Alan, different establishments. You know, it was a good day yesterday. It was a good day yesterday. But back to the Hawks. Like I said, we're not going to talk too much about the last preseason game. But I did want to say it's the first time we saw everybody, you know, on the court together outside of a Okongwu, and I'm looking at the numbers now. Obviously, Trey went bonkers, 27 and 15 assists in 30 minutes. Yeesh. In 12 minutes, Clint Capella had a double-double. DeAndre Hunter in 29 minutes, 19 points. John Collins with a double-double, 13 and 11 himself. Bogey only had 8, but that's okay. Herter had 13 off the bench in 22 minutes. He started off slow, but then really kicked it into gear in the second half. Gorgie, dang. 6 points off the bench. Cam Reddish with 12 off the bench. So it was good to see everybody on the court, even though Miami didn't have their starters playing. It was good to see what, and I know me and you talked about this, just to see everybody healthy and play before the season opener against Dallas. And I know you wanted to talk about some lineups and stuff. So I'm going to give you the floor and just, you know, we're going to have a free flowing conversation about preseason in general and what to look forward to going into the season opener on Thursday night here in Atlanta versus Dallas and TNT.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, as far as preseason takeaways go, just, you know, on the whole, the only things that you really should have been looking for as a Hawks fan is the health of DeAndre Hunter and Clint, evidently, because apparently he had that Achilles issue that was revealed when training camp opened up, that apparently he played through all of last year, which, you know, shout out. Could have fooled me. He looked pretty spry all season long. But Hunter and Capella playing in that last game, really just encouraging stuff, especially with Hunter, who's coming off the meniscus surgery. Incredibly important piece of what Atlanta does. I mean, who knows what this team would have done with him in that Eastern Conference Finals last season. Biggest takeaway is just like watching those games or just watching those guys play against Miami on Thursday. I mean, Hunter was, you know, he had a couple of drives to the rim. He looked fine. You know, they're being a little cautious with him, you know, in practices, saying he had some soreness in the area, taking a little bit of time off. But it appears that is all just precautionary stuff. He's going to be in that starting lineup against the Mavs on opening night and is the best news that any Hawks fan could have hoped for in this preseason. The other
Jump in real quick. I'm looking at, I mean, he started off hot from the field. At one point, he was 6-7 from the floor, ended 7-12 from the floor, 4-6 from three. And then you add 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He was plus 26. Again, he didn't play their, you know, their best players, but still, it was very encouraging to see him in rhythm, looking good and looking healthy. So I just wanted to throw those numbers out because he struggled with a shot early in preseason, but we coming back from injury, trying to get back in rhythm, we give him a pass. But to see that going into Dallas on Thursday night was a welcoming sight for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And really the only other things that are worth taking away from this preseason action, not just the last game, all the games in general, is that the new guys that we got coming off the bench look pretty good. They are, I think we're upgraded really in both areas that we needed to. Jang got a lot of playing time. Gorgie Jang got a lot of playing time with Clint. Looked just a solid fit on this team. Everyone's going to love watching this dude play. Just, you know, especially if you're into fantasy, you know Jang, this is fantasy basketball. He is a stout machine, but a fantastic replacement for Okongwu until he's able to come back. And then when he just transitions to being our third center on this team, I mean, that is just some of the best center depth in the NBA with Capella, Okongwu, and Jang. And D'Lon Wright, I was thrilled when the Hawks made that trade in the offseason, shipping out Fernando and Chris Dunn for Tristan Thompson, which freaked me out very briefly until they traded Tristan Thompson to the Kings for D'Lon. And this man is just everything that you want in a backup point guard. You know, he's a low usage guy. He's just really more of a game manager who is a very capable defender, can play next to Trey. He can defer to Herter in those bench lines. We're going to see a lot of those two kind of just sharing point guard responsibility bench. And I think Hawks fans are going to love his versatility this season. He is a fantastic, fantastic get for this unit. And I think not even close is going to be the best point guard to play behind Trae Young since he's been in Atlanta.
Oh, 100%. I agree with both of those signings. Both are vets. Both have played some games here in the NBA, and both are solid in their roles. And I like the fact that Jang can extend his range from the basket,
oh, yeah,
ability to shoot the three ball, as he was a 43% three-point shooter last year on both Minnesota and the Spurs. And then you have D'Lon Wright, who, you know, like, when people are injured in front of him, he can come in and manage the offense and score in his own right. He's a big body. He can defend in multiple positions. So I think adding those two vets is just great for this Hawks team. And I'm really excited for when Okongwu does come back. And I'm going to ask you, do you foresee some lineups? And I've talked about this, but potentially you put Jang at the five and then just put Okongwu at the four, and then they can kind of interchange as far as who's in the paint. Obviously, Gorgie can, you know, step out and bring centers out, backup centers out, and, you know, knock the three ball down, and then give Okongwu range to just get those putbacks and finish around the rim. So do you foresee potentially that type of lineup at some point in this year?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, the Hawks just have so many different guys that they could mess around with that, like, particularly against larger opponents, I could see that kind of configuration. You know, that power forward slot, the power forward slot on this team is interesting to me. I think that there are more candidates to play at that particular position than any other on the roster. I mean, you have Collins. Hunter can go small ball four. You have Gallo. You have rookie Jalen Johnson, who I know we'll talk about at some point later on. Solomon Hill. Maybe you could theoretically put Jang as a four there. I mean, defensively, probably not, but at least from the floor space and capacity, if you really want to go Twin Towers approach.
I was going to say
Reddish
in a small ball. Yeah, I was going to say Reddish in a small ball. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he put on some inches this offseason. I think he's close to 6'10 now. That's what people are saying. I don't think there's any official measurements out there confirming that. It's disgusting to think about. I'm not going to spread any misinformation there, because other than the league is absolutely, like, as of this podcast, officially on notice. Like, that's just not fair. If that's the case, but it's possible. There's a lot of options at that four, and there's just that's one of the big keys for this Hawks season. They have positional versatility all across the roster. Trey, like every guy on this team outside of Trey and Capella can play multiple positions on the floor. D'Lon Wright can play three positions off that bench for you. Kevin Herter can do it. He can do it. Hunter and Cam, you can throw them anywhere. I mean, this just, I'm going off here.
Because this is going to segue into our conversation, because we wanted to talk about lineups, and I know you had a lineup that you want to see. There's so many lineups that we can throw out on this Hawks team, and as I have the replay of the Hawks Heat last preseason game on the TV right now in front of me. I'm looking at a lineup right now. We have D'Lon Wright, Herter, Solomon Hill, Jang, and Reddish on the floor. That's some length. That's some versatility there. That's something that the Hawks just did not have, just two seasons ago. And the luxury that we have all these different players that can play multiple roles on this team and are good at their roles, and the depth that we have, it's a lot of people are not talking about us. A lot of people talking about the Bulls and the Nets and all these other teams that they're getting caught up in preseason. They've, and like Eminem, they forgot about Dre. They forgot about the Hawks. And it's going to be tough to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we're going to make a damn good case for it with just the depth and the lineups that we can put out. And that's something that this coaching staff is going to have to work through this offseason. But I know you wanted to – this line – what is your favorite lineups? Like dream case scenario, like if it can be based on situations. What are some lineups that you just can't wait to see get on the court?
Well, I'll start with a really easy one. I'm just excited to see our starting unit of Trey, Bogey, Hunter, Collins, and Capella playing just consistent minutes together, because that lineup is the best balance of deep shot creation, just like, you know, I mean, I think might be the most versatile. Like, Bogey is the most creative, you know, offensive, just generator on the team outside Trey. Like, he can really get it done in a lot of different ways. But I love Hunter. Like, I love Hunter hunting mismatches. Like, he's been proven very effective at driving to the rim when he does that. And the mid-range game that he flashed last year was elite, at least in those first 20 games. I mean, he can just. He really is, in a lot of ways, the key to this team's success this year. And just, like, he's a ceiling raiser and a floor raiser. But I'm excited to see those guys play a consistent minutes together. The one lineup that I'm really curious to see, though, is some small ball stuff. John Collins at 5 and Hunter at the 4. Bring Cam Reddish in at the 3 and then Trey at the 1 with Bogey or Herder at the 2. That lineup, to me, that could be a scary, scary lineup offensively. With, you know, Hunter and Reddish on the floor at the same time, being able to pick up perimeter guys and people in the paint alike. Like, that, to me, that could be, if we were looking at, like, you know, plus minuses for Hawks lineups at the end of the year, a lineup configuration like that could be, like, one of the best offensive ones on this team and perhaps in the NBA. I mean, That one, it really just, it's the idea of Collins at the 5 and Hunter at the 4 more frequently than we got to see last season due to injury and just, you know, a reluctance to play those guys at the same time at those positions a lot under Pierce. It's just going to be fascinating to see what Nate McMillan does with a full deck, because he does, as of right now, minus Okongwu, he has one. And I think that the Hawks can really raise their ceiling finding ways to get Hunter and Cam on the floor together, and Hunter at that small ball 4 spot.
Yeah, and that's a potential death lineup. You know that these really, really good teams have the ability to put these death lineups out, and I'm glad that we have obviously the bodies and the personnel to potentially counteract a death lineup with our own speed, interchangeability, and scoring with some defense. I mean, now that's not the greatest defensive lineup, but I mean, those death lineups are more generated for offense and not defense. So I can see that lineup going tick for tack with some of the other death lineups that other teams in the league can throw at Atlanta. So it's just a fun luxury to have. And I did want to ask a quick question. I saw people saying, well, we still are not great at protecting the paint. And I'm just like, okay, it's preseason. It's kind of early to judge that. Are you concerned by that? I mean, we already know Capella, his defensive capability. John Collins has got it better on defense. Jang is obviously not a slouch on defense. Okongwu is also a pretty good defender. So they have some good defenders in the paint. But is that still a concern from you? We did get a little bit bigger in that regard. But is that still a concern for you as far as size in the paint and some other teams in the East?
It's a concern for me so far as in, like, if Capella is out with an injury, then we're probably going to have some problems because there's no real way to underrate it. He defined our defense last season. I mean, Collins improved as a defender, but it was in a lot of ways as like a help side defender to what Capella was doing. Just like the gravity at the rim that he possesses is, I mean, among the best of the NBA. Like he covers up a lot of roster of like lineup wide issues in terms of, like, you know, guarding point of attack, guys getting to the rim. Like, his presence is why we have a passable defense. So if Capella's not there, then yeah, we're probably going to have some issues. Even though Jang's a good paint defender himself, I do think that Okongwu, when he gets healthy, and he's back out there, like, what, like, he is got that same defensive, like, lockdown upside that Capella has, but with a little bit more of being able to guard switches a little bit better and guard some of the guys on the perimeter. Like Okongwu's defensive potential is really just sky's the limit in that capacity. But until he comes back, we are going to have to rely a lot on Capella. I mean, so yeah, and you know, he's had some injury concerns over the past. In the past, he played a lot last season, probably more than people expected. And I'll say this too: when Okongwu comes back, the Hawks should try and find ways to load manage Capella a little bit, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I know people that I agree.
It's a phrase that no one likes to hear, but you gotta be smart with this depth that you have. The Hawks are one of the two deepest teams in the NBA, depending on how you feel about Brooklyn and the 2006 All-Stars. Like, they are like Atlanta has the capacity to they should load manage with this amount of depth. All right. Like, Jang as a third string center, that's an embarrassment of riches. The guy, like, Jalen Johnson, he's probably not going to play a lot this year, but you best be sure he should be getting looks when you rest Danilo Gallinari, who absolutely should be load managed this season. You know, like, there's just, like, you know, no one wants to see Trey load managed, and he won't be, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because you got DeLon Wright and you get some Sharif Cooper minutes up there as well. Like, you have depth, and that is a weapon. And as a weapon, you should use that strategically throughout the year and give guys rest when needed. You know, like, injuries ravaged this team last year. There's a lot that the organization is going to have to do to make sure that they protect their core players for the playoff run, because that's what it's about now. It's not about making the playoffs. It's about going deep. So, you know, it'll be interesting. That's another interesting thing to evaluate with how McMillan works with this deck. Like, how does he utilize all of the depth that we have on the roster? There's a lot of ways to
go. And I'm glad that you, like, said a lot of these things, because it just kind of does one. We're going to talk about Sharif Cooper here in just a bit. And two, I'm looking at this game right now. I think the Hawks have the potential to have one of the best benches in the NBA. And you alluded to that too, with just the depth. And watching this Heat game, Lou Will and Gallo didn't even play. They didn't even play this game. And I'm looking at a lineup, like I said, with Reddish, with Herder, with DeLon Wright, Jang, and Solomon Hill. This is a good lineup that's out here. Like, I mean, I don't mean to pick on them. The T-Wolves last year would have killed for a lineup like this. I'm just being frank. I mean, and then you have Bogey, who can be interchangeable. I just love the possibilities with the depth on this team. And you talk about potentially low managing Capella. I think that's smart, especially early in the year. Because with Okongwu out, that's one guy down, and I'm not sure how quickly they're going to throw Jalen Johnson to the fire. So have to, you know, play around with those minutes at the five position early until you get all, you know, your ducks in a row in that regard. Mm-hmm. So and that's smart. And like I said, with, you know, preserving Trae Young maybe in some stretches, DeLon Wright is more than capable of managing the offense. Obviously, we've seen Herder ball handle. We've seen Bogey do some ball handling. Lou Will do some ball handling. And then you talk about Gallo, who, you know, he was extremely healthy last year. He has strung together a good couple years as far as being healthy, but how long?
Play with fire.
How long is that going to happen? Like,
yeah.
But still, and that's where drafting Jalen Johnson, who I said who could potentially be the replacement for Gallo when it's all said and done, once his contract is out, and depending on how he progresses. So the Hawks have a lot of riches on this bench, and I've already talked about Johnson. Let's talk about some of these rookies. I talked about Sharif Cooper last episode about why he should be on a two-way contract, even though he gets in the game and he's an absolute gamer. You're like, man, we need him on the court. He might need to be the backup point guard. I see what people are saying on Twitter. I see all that. Your Sharif Cooper thoughts, and do you agree with my sentiment? I'm like, hey, you know what? Let him have a two-way contract, because I think the most important thing for him is reps and not just sitting on the end of a bench and not getting those reps except in garbage time minutes, which could be 2, 3, 4 minutes, depending on the score of the game, the situation, you know, that Cooper's put in.
Yeah, I mean, look, if for those who don't like the fact that Cooper is on a two-way contract, I can concede that Cooper is not a two-way contract level player. He is more talented than that designation, you know, usually suggests. To that end, I think that Cooper is there's a very strong argument that he is the most talented two-way player in the NBA. And if you're a Hawks fan, why are you upset with that notion that you have the most talented two-way player on your already deep roster of guys? Like, I mean, that just seems like an embarrassment of riches to me. You know, the reality is Cooper fell way farther in the draft than he should have, and to the point where everyone in the NBA, including these teams that passed on him, could cop to that. There's like, yeah, he shouldn't have gone that low, and he definitely shouldn't have gone to Atlanta, who, you know, like there's too much talent there as is. Cooper, you know, he's supremely fun to watch. It's clear that his passing is NBA level. Like you know, the reads that he makes are advanced. People thought that he might have thrown that lob to Collins where he just destroyed Jared Allen's life in the preseason a little too high. To me, that looked like perfect placement to me. There ain't no one on the floor that could have grabbed that but Collins, and Cooper got it right to him. Like, the passing instincts are elite. But this is a team with title aspirations. Typically, teams that contend for titles don't rely on rookies too much to get there. DeLon Wright's a vet, and he's been around multiple teams. He's a good defender, and he's a capable ball handler. He always made more sense to fill that backup point guard role. I was under no illusions that Cooper was going to go into the NBA, the Hawks season, as the primary backup point guard. The Hawks never even planned for him to be a part of their plans.
Yeah, and I agree. I 100% agree.
So, yeah, let him get his reps in College Park. He's going to play more there than he would in the NBA, and he will see NBA minutes almost assuredly. I mean, we saw Skylar Mays and Nathan Knight play plenty last season. Granted, that was because of a lot of injuries, but, I mean, those guys got opportunities. Those guys flashed their talent. Cooper is a better player than both of those guys. So I have no doubt that he is eventually going to find some semblance of playing time. And again, I'm not suggesting that Trae Young gets load managed at all. And I doubt that happens. But if it does, it could be to give Cooper some time at the point. It could be some, you know, like he's a high powered, high potential insurance policy on this team. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. And for all we know, this time next year, when Gallinari goes from a fully guaranteed contract to a partially guaranteed contract, I believe DeLon Wright will be a free agent after this offseason as well. Maybe you see the Rooks jump into rotation roles. Like, there ain't nothing wrong with that either. Give him a year and then have him ascend into these roles later on. I definitely feel that way about Jalen Johnson. I think that's very likely going to happen with him, who, I mean, that guy is an NBA player too. You know, everyone, Sharif Cooper gets a lot of hype for being the hometown kid because he can absolutely throw a beautiful, picturesque dime to anyone on the floor. But Jalen Johnson kind of can do that too. I one of my favorite plays of the preseason was watching him. I think that they called a foul on the play, but he just did that thing, that skill that everyone's identified with him as being a unique one on this Hawks roster, to grab the rebound and make a play in transition from your forward spot. What a weapon that could be. I think he threw a full court pass to, it was Reddish on the other end. I mean, just perfect placement, perfect instincts. Like, he's a freak athlete, and he has a skill set that no one else on this team has from the forward spot. And that's just, I mean, I think by virtue of that alone, he'll find some playing time this season.
Yeah, both of the draftees this year have a really bright future with this team, and this team has a bright future. And the next two and the last two things we're going to talk about are two players that are trying to figure out if they're going to be part of the future. And we talked about this before we started the show. Herder, who could have a contract extension But, you know, they're still in negotiation. And as far as him in the future, this Hawks team, where do you see this going? Where do you hope it goes? Because I personally love Kevin Huerter. I like what I've been seeing. I love his improvement on defense. I like his size. I like he's a three-level scorer. He can ball handle. There's so many things about Huerter that I like. And his stock is rising around the league. Mm-hmm. So if we don't sign him, somebody is going to get Huerter, and they're going to really be happy that they signed him. So I want to get your take on Huerter.
Well, I think that the league is wise to what kind of player Huerter can be, because, I mean, this man was he really evolved in the playoffs. Like you mentioned, like the defensive stuff that he's flashed in the past, he was amazing defensively in the playoffs relative to what we've seen from Huerter in the past. Like, he took a step up there. The shot making was impressive. The playmaking was impressive. Like, he's a gamer. And he is got a lot of interest around the league right now. And the Hawks would be wise to sign, to lock him up before he can hit restricted free agency, where teams will almost certainly try and throw some offers out there to handicap the Hawks or hamstring the Hawks, and also just get a really good, promising young player like Huerter on their team. But, I mean, here's the thing. Herter's stock right now is the highest it's ever been. And he knows that. His agents know that. And the Hawks know that. I'm not surprised at all that there hasn't been an extension yet. For an extension to have happened would be very team-friendly. I think Huerter stands to make a lot more money getting to free agency next season. And, frankly, that's his... And I think that, I mean, it just makes sense. A lot's been made about the Hawks trying to figure out the long-term cap ramifications of having all this young talent on the team. Huerter has proven himself to be a really important piece for what we do, though. And I think that he should be a priority in retaining. He is the ideal type of two guard for a Trae Young team. In growing alongside Trae throughout his career, Huerter has turned himself into a multi-tooled, multifaceted player that just complements Trae and plenty of others on the floor. Like, he's a glue guy in a lot of ways. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect. My guess is that he does not get an extension and goes into free agency next year, restricted free agency, so the Hawks can match. And they probably will match anything that he gets. But of course, once that domino falls, then things get dicey with the Cam Reddish part of this.
And that is the next person we were going to talk about.
So let's set it up. The Cam Reddish angle here. I mean, there's nobody on this roster who has more question marks than Cam Reddish. Wildest range of possibilities for what he can be and what he is. Inconsistent career, but flashes of greatness. And that is a very hard place to be when negotiating for a new contract for both sides of things. I mean,
it's a tough situation. I mean, and I talked about this on Twitter because it was a tweet that I saw where they just said, like, Cam Reddish, he just looks like and he's so good in his preseason. He looks healthy, but they said that he's pressing. He's looking to prove himself. And this is from Jocks Pro Necklace, Hawks fan, at Hawks fan 3344. Pressing. Yeah, shout out. Yeah, he's pressing. He looks looking to prove himself, not looking to pass. It sucks. He said, I get it. He's young. He's been told he's the future his whole life. He just wants to prove it. He said, I'm afraid he's basically not a long-term option for the Hawks. And I kind of said, I kind of agree with your sentiments. He knows that this is an important year for him. With the injuries and the constant trade rumors around his time here in Atlanta, he's trying to showcase his skills. He's going to get the opportunities this year, barring health, but I would love to see him play more within the offense than pressing. So maybe it would make him a little bit more relaxed, because there's a lot of pressure on him, trying to figure out if he's going to be here in Atlanta. And I said this a few podcasts. By the end of the season, I would love for him to play 64 to 66 games this year. So then at the end of the year, we can say Cam Reddish is blank. We can answer definitively who Cam Reddish is instead of all these question marks and possibilities. And I'm glad, like, I'm glad he's healthy. He looks confident. He's trying to get a rhythm. He's taking, being aggressive and taking his shots here in preseason. But once the regular season comes, and he's going to get opportunities coming off the bench, but I'm just very curious to see if he's going to put too much pressure where that inconsistency continues, or is the pressure going to help him rise up to the occasion and prove that, hey, we need to keep him here long term, because I see this is a situation in a year where players like Herter, players like Reddish, who obviously we're talking about, even players like Bogey are kind of in a, hey, we're trying to see who's going to be here long term, who's going to fit. All you guys are valuable as far as trade goes, and we can potentially package one or two of you with someone else or draft picks and maybe get a star here to go alongside Trae Young and the rest of the cast. So this is a very important year as far as some of these players to say definitively trying to carve out their spot in Atlanta's long-term plans. And am I crazy to say that, or is that kind of the reality of where we're at? We have such an embarrassment of riches and talent and so much depth, but we could package that and get another star to really take this team to the next level and get us over the hump potentially.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course that's in play. I mean, and frankly, you know, permitting that the league's salary cap doesn't rise at the opportune time for the Hawks to cash in and sign all of their young guys to extensions, you have no choice but to consolidate your assets. And yeah, these are players, these are people, but everyone knows the business side of things. They all know that there's that possibility exists out there, that they are valued across the league as desirable players in their own right, which, you know, I think, of course, a trade for a star is in play and is certainly something that could happen. It's not a guarantee, particularly this season, though, because I think what's so admirable about this team right now is that the vibe that you get the sense from across the locker room is that they are contenders and they all want to compete at the highest level. Like, there's something to be said about having this much talent on your roster and having everyone bought in. And for Cam, who has a lot riding on his ability to, you know, play consistent rotation minutes in the NBA and show the league that, like, hey, I deserve to get paid just as much as my guy DeAndre or just as much as Kevin, maybe, like, you know, like he knows all of that. But from everything I can tell, Reddish is a consummate professional. He wants to play in his role, and he wants to, I mean, presumably exceed it. And I think that that's something that's evident across the roster. All of these guys are bought in. Yeah. And whatever happens after the season, I mean, once we get past this year, we will have, there might have to be a shakeup. And certainly if things go south, say in, I don't know, Minnesota, where things have a tendency to go south and Karl Anthony Towns all of a sudden is on the table, well, then yeah, I think the Hawks have no choice but to get involved in some capacity in those trade conversations. I would imagine, but I don't think that's the mentality right now. I know that Reddish is potentially still a possible trade candidate, but the Hawks this year have no need. They don't need to rush anything. They have a deep roster, guys who are bought in. If they need to make a trade, you can still do that this offseason. I think that they're going to ride with who they have, unless you know, Karl Anthony Towns suddenly becomes available. I keep throwing that out specifically.
Yeah, I 100% agree. There's no need to rush this. Like I said, we're just going to just, in the words of Lil Wayne, let it all work out. We're gonna let it all work out. We're going to see, you know, who we have. We're going to let these players play it out, and then if things do go south and there's something at trade deadline, it could get interesting. But if not, hey, we have in the next offseason, we get to see where this team goes, really sit back and evaluate things and make the moves accordingly. And we've seen that this franchise time in, time out, through free agency, through the draft, through their contract signings under Travis Schlenk and management, that they have made the right decisions up to this point. And I don't see them not making the right decision regardless of what direction they go. So it's just it's a great spot to be in, but also a tough spot to be in. But at least they have a season to just let them play. They're all motivated, they're all bought in, and let's, you know, try to make another run at this thing. And so I'm really excited that we're relatively healthy going into, you know, the season openers again on Thursday here in Atlanta, State Farm Arena, TNT, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks are in town. I cannot wait for that. I can't wait. I cannot wait. We lost twice to this Dallas Mavericks team last year when we arguably should have beat them twice. I say definitely the game in Dallas, we could have beat them when Gallo missed that game winner, potential game winner or game tying shot. I can't remember. And when Dallas went crazy down the stretch in the fourth quarter and ended up beating the Hawks here in Atlanta, I think both of those games were under Lloyd Pierce. So this is going to be the first time that they get to see a Nick McMillan coached Atlanta Hawks team. And I know I have some Mavs fan out there talking some smack about the game. And I know you guys are confident, and you know your boy Jason Kidd out here looking like he giving fades on the side on top of calling up plays in that team picture. But you know what? You know who we rolling with down here. We rolling with the A. We rolling with the Hawks. And I just am just excited for the energy in that arena, even though it's a regular season game. There's a lot of excitement here in Atlanta for this Hawks team. And I know I'm going to let you speak more about that, being, you know, a longer resident of Atlanta than me.
Well, I mean, like, this has potential to be the most energy for a Hawks regular season game in quite some time. In fact, you know, Trae Young and Luka's rookie season, the Hawks home opener was against the Mavs. And the Hawks won that game. You know, just that doesn't mean anything about what's going to happen this upcoming Thursday, but just want to throw that out there. I got to go to that game. It was very, very fortunate and incredibly exciting. Like, the energy in that stadium at just this idea, it's just like, you know, watching these two future superstars and Trae and Luka duel. We're going to get that energy again on Thursday. But with the additive in that, like, these guys over here, they are rivals in, like, the way that, like,
Memphis is another rival in that same way. I know what you're talking about.
But not like rivals like we hate these guys. Rivals just like, hey, we're coming up at the same time. We see you. We're competing. The animosity. Frankly, I don't think there's a whole lot anymore for the majority of Mavs and Hawks fans, because both sides won out in that draft night trade.
Before you talk more about, to kind of play on that, I still have the game up.
Yeah.
Trae Young just looked fantastic in that last preseason game. You know, just him scoring, picking his spots, but getting everybody involved.
Oh, yeah.
I love seeing it. I mean, obviously we knew he was going to do it, but it just makes me even more excited. And yes, both teams won the trade, and rightfully so. Yeah, but I'll let you get back to your point, because I'm just looking at some of these plays he made on last Thursday. I'm like, good gracious. Like, I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad he's back.
I mean, there's no real point I'm making other than, like, you know, hey, I'm pumped for Thursday night and watching, you know, the Hawks bring out the regular season in style. Like, they're a part. It's just gonna be so fun to watch the Hawks being a part of the national media, like, landscape. Like, you know, they're not getting a whole lot of talk right now, but they're a part of the opening night lineup. We have a Christmas Day game for the first time in my life. It's like, you know, there's so many games that you pencil in this year. Like, here's the thing: when you, in years past, if you're a Hawks fan and you're penciling games that you wanted to watch or go to, almost always it was a factor of who was on the other side.
Yep.
That is not the case. Every game is a game that's worth going to, because everyone wants to watch these guys play. And the games that you pencil in because of the guys on the other side of the ball, they're heightened games right this year. Like, you know, I'm hyped for Dallas and Atlanta, but you know what regular season game I am the most excited for? It is that first rematch against Philadelphia.
That is going to be a raucous environment.
I'm getting tickets to that game. I'm wearing my John Collins Baptist shirt to that game because those guys, those are the animosity rivals. There is no love for Philly in Atlanta, and certainly not this Philadelphia 76ers team. And I think it's just there's not been in my life any sort of team with this level of chippiness in animosity towards the Nets Sixers squad. Like, this is – that's exciting in its own.
I can argue the Knicks.
The Knicks is more like that's Trae Young and New Yorkers. like the Knicks are going to come here and people aren't going to be yelling like, you know, hey, you suck, Alec Burks. Like, no one cares like that. Like, you know, it's like the Sixers – there, like the boos that Joel Embiid's going to get in that building will be louder than any other player all season long, especially with that awesome article written by Chris Kirshner the other day, detailing the history, where this all kind of started, like years ago, where Embiid's just trash talking the Hawks when we were pitiful, and with John Collins was listening on the phone as he was going in on them, and then obviously we have returned the favor. From that day quite impactfully. There's just so much to be excited for. I am excited for those Knicks games in Atlanta, but I mean, yeah, watching Trae Young on Christmas in New York, it's going to be an experience too.
Yes, yeah, it's a lot to look forward to for this season for the Hawks, and it tips off. It's only a few days away. I am just so excited for this Hawks team, for this podcast, where it's going to go as we continue to follow this team. And I'm excited for my friend Alan, who's got a whole bunch going on at HoopBall. Alan, I want to thank you for coming on today. Tell my listeners all that you got going on. And listeners, y'all better support this man, because we both going up to the penthouse. We're going to be there together, and I want y'all to be up there partying with us. Wear masks, social distance. But
of course, yeah.
We'll be Alan, tell my listeners what all you got going on here at HoopBall.
Well, it's apparently a party over on my end of things. I am no, I appreciate that a lot, Brad. I basically have taken over the HoopBall YouTube page. It's a channel that has mostly just kind of been a podcast feed for the last couple of years, but we've been adding original content on that channel all off season long. I mean, if you're listening to this and you have a fantasy basketball draft, well, I guess it would have to be today if you're listening on Monday, because it's probably your last chance to do it. Go check out the channel. I have playlists of all the stuff that we've done, strategy videos, live mock drafts. I have videos out there about my top sleeper picks for fantasy basketball, busts, steals, like really just a ton of work has gone into that. And I'm really excited to continue that into the regular season. Yeah, check out youtube.com/hoopball. I also have a new podcast with Adam King, one of the editors of the site, show Sroki and the King. It is a weekly podcast where we hit on NBA news, do a little fantasy basketball talk, and do live Q&As every Sunday. That will be dropping 4 p.m. Eastern time. So every Sunday. So yeah, that a lot going on these days. Brad, you and I definitely need to link up on that too. You were on our live draft coverage back in July, which by the way you were fantastic, given out saucy takes and good commentary. Like you were definitely you were a key critical addition for that show. I hope to get you on some videos this season.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make sure my line is crisp. Shout out to my barber Mo. And I'm gonna make sure I am fresh for those videos, because I'll do whatever it takes to support you as you continue to support, obviously, HoopBall Hawks here. So, guys, y'all heard Alan. Y'all check him out. Support our ventures going on at HoopBall. And if you love what you heard today, give us 5 stars. Give us a great review. Share it. Get everybody on the bandwagon before the Hawks season starts on Thursday night. Share this episode with as many people as possible, because come Thursday, we are going to continue to hit it hard for all 82 games and covering this Hawks team through and through throughout the 2021-2022 NBA regular season. The hottest new podcast covering Atlanta Hawks. Share with fellow Hawks fans, NBA fans, Georgia sports fans, basketball fans, ceiling fans. It does not matter. Basketball enthusiasts, everybody needs to hear this podcast. So follow us at HoopBallHawks on Twitter. That is at HoopBallHawks. And follow myself, Brad Jarrett 67. That is Brad Jarrett 67. Hit me up to talk Hawks, NBA. As you know, I can talk football and talk baseball too. Hit your boy up on Twitter. I love having some conversations. We've been waiting all week for Thursday night. Ooh, not to take from you, Carrie Underwood, but we are ready for Thursday night. Y'all better not be watching no Cleveland Cavaliers and Denver Broncos Thursday night football game. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. You need to be watching the Hawks. And we will catch y'all later this week. And I love and appreciate all y'all's support.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.